the microbiota is a collection of organisms that you have in your gut, and then the microbiome is a collection of genes that those organisms have. In this study, they were looking primarily at differences in the microbiota, and what they showed were very large differences in the ratios of two groups of bacteria, the Firmicutes and the Bacteroidetes. One thing that's interesting about that is that the ratio of Firmicutes to Bacteroidetes seems to be important in obesity in Western society. One thing that was interesting that I thought they could have explored more in this article was how much of the differences they were seeing between the African and the European children were due to differences in body mass index, differences essentially in how lean or how fat they were, and whether that could have explained some of the differences in the gut.
The African children ate a plant-based rural diet of coarse grains. They didn't eat a lot of sugar. They didn't eat a lot of fat. They didn't eat a lot of protein. The European children ate a standard Western diet, but they also ate at least twice as many calories. There's a lot of variables there.
And it's always difficult to untangle those variables. In some of the work we've been doing with Jeff Gordon's group, sponsored by the Gates Foundation, we've been studying an East African population in Malawi rather than the West African population that was studied here. And we see very similar trends. So our American children look a lot like the European children reported in this study.
And when you say they look like them a lot, do you mean when you look at them on the street or when you look inside their guts at their Firmicutes?
Well, I can't tell you how they look on the street for confidentiality reasons with the Institutional Review Board, but at least when you look in their guts, their gut contents are very similar. And then similarly, the Malawian children, who have a diet that's predominantly based on corn, rather than in Burkina Faso, where I think it was mostly millet, they look very different from the children on the Western diet.
Do they eat as many calories as European children do? Do they drink sodas? Do they eat hot Cheetos and potato chips?
No, there's essentially no processed food in their diet.
Do they eat a lot of calories, or do they eat half as many as most American kids do?
They also eat a lot fewer calories than American kids do. And so one thing that's really important for follow-up studies, which we're starting to look at in adults and may ultimately be able to move into children, is trying to isolate the effect of the number of calories that you eat from which particular calories you're eating.
So far, this study doesn't look at, was it the fats? Was it the sugars? Was it the high amount of protein in the Western diet? Was it just the total calories? Or is one of those nutrients a driver of the change to the kind of microbes that increase the risk of obesity, it seems, and also increase the risk of allergies?
There are so many differences at this point. They're trying to isolate the differences in the amount of each thing that you eat and then the kind of fat that you eat, whether it's trans fats or unsaturated or saturated fats. We just don't know at this point what effect each of those factors has on the gut microbes, although we are gaining increasing evidence that the gut microbes could be very important for health.
If it's a chicken and egg problem, which comes first, the microbes or the diet?
Well, fascinatingly, in mice at least, the microbes can even affect the diet. So one study we did with Andrew Gewitz's group at Emory that was reported in Science earlier this year, in that case, there was a genetic mutation in a gene called TLR5 that triggered a change in the gut microbiology in those mice. Those mice became obese, but in that case, it wasn't because they were able to extract energy more efficiently from the diet, but rather because microbes actually made them hungrier and made them eat more. And the really amazing thing is that we could transmit that through the microbial community to other mice. And so by transferring the microbial community in the gut from these mice that were genetically mutated to other mice that were genetically completely normal, those other mice also became hungrier and ate more and became obese and had high triglycerides, high cholesterol, and even high blood pressure after receiving that microbial transplant. So it's probably not a cause-effect thing. It's probably the cyclic interplay between your microbes and how efficiently you're able to extract energy and possibly even host behavior. I should point out that we only know about those effects in host behavior in mice so far. We don't know if this applies to humans, but if it does, it could certainly have profound implications.
Wild.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting things coming up in this field. Those microbial cells are the majority of the cells in your body, so it makes sense not to continue ignoring them.